You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a master class in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are doing what I'd like to call a palate cleanse, I guess. So we finished our neutrality series. And before we transition into a new topic, I wanted to do kind of just a one-off curriculum. And this is birthed out of many, many conversations I've had, specifically very recently, but even in the last, let's say, 3 to 6 months, about the distinction between subcontractor and employee when you're working for someone else as a play therapist. So if you are an employee, if you are a subcontractor, if you are an employer of either employees or subcontractors, this podcast is for you. I have so many coaching participants and collective members bringing up the varying degrees of work responsibilities and what that looks like. And I'm an employee and I'm a subcontractor, but the eyes of those distinctions are very clear by law. And I'll share a couple stories with you, and then we'll dive into what you need to know, all things related to the classification as a play therapist of subcontractor versus employee. However, before we do, I just graduated a whole nother round, so 2 cohorts of my 6-figure coaching program. And I just wanted to say I'm so excited for them and so encouraged by the confidence and the competence and the articulation, the growth, just everything. We kind of celebrated the whole year together and just really incredible to see the transformations that have taken place. So little shout out to my newly graduated people. And also thank you for those of you who have been signing up for the Mississippi podcast meetup. If you are going to be at the conference or can drive to Oxford, Mississippi, please make sure that you click on the link in the show notes to sign up for the RSVP. Well, you are RSVPing for the meetup. Okay, so let's dive into the idea of subcontractor versus employee. And let me share a really quick story that I think will illustrate the significance of this. Because in our industry, I think it's pretty common practice to have the lines really severely blurred. But the lines are very, very clearly defined in the legal arena. So let me share a quick story. I used to have exclusively subcontractors at my practice. So all of my therapists were subcontractors, ran their own businesses, and they just worked in my center and served my wait list and my clients. I reached out to an employment lawyer and said, I'd like to have you draft some employment agreements as I bring on more subcontractors. And he refused to take the job, which that was very interesting to me because I'm like, you are in fact an employment lawyer. This is what you specialize in. And I'm wanting to pay you for your services. Why are you turning me away? And he said, I'm not going to risk my license on that. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. You need to find someone else. And when I dug deeper, I actually ended up working with a different attorney because he legit blew me off. And the new attorney ended up telling me that we have a reputation in the mental health industry in legal circles for basically breaking the law all the time. And they associate the mental health space with the most consistent, in the eyes of the law, breaking the rules for employee versus subcontractor agreements. So I did some pretty deep conversations with him and I did some research myself. So if you are thinking about bringing on therapists to work under you, if you are actively employing therapists to work under you, and or if you are working under someone as an employee or a subcontractor, there are some really important things that you need to know. And this is really kind of more of a public service kind of episode. But I think this will affect so many of you that I'm probably going to get a lot of feedback. That's what I'm anticipating anyway. So here's the breakdown. If you are a subcontractor, you have to run your own business and you have to operate completely independently of anyone who is employing you. So you have to think of this as a general contractor building a house. So the homeowner secures the contract with the general contractor and says, you know, I choose this house, this square footage, this many bedrooms, this many bathrooms, these fixtures, this granite for the countertops, whatever. So the home buyer is in contracted agreement with the general contractor. But the general contractor does not do all of the components of the house. The general contractor uses an electrician to do the electrical, a plumber to do the plumbing, an air conditioning contractor to do the HVAC, a roofer to do the roof, a person who specializes in foundations to pour the concrete. Okay, so you can see that although the general contractor is in a contract with the home buyer, the GC is going to sublet, subcontract all of the work to contractors. So think about this. Let's take this analogy a little bit further. The general contractor does not tell the plumber how to do their job. The plumber has to install the plumbing that's appropriate for the house. So the plumber is going to be under contractual obligation to put in a certain number of toilets and a certain number of showers and a certain number of pipes to connect everything together, etc. But as long as the agreed upon terms are met, the general contractor does not provide any tools to the plumber. The general contractor does not supervise the plumber. The general contractor does not tell the plumber when it has to work. In other words, you have to work from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. There's really little to no oversight. The general contractor says, you have a plumbing business. I'm hiring you to do this according to our contract. You get the plumbing done and I don't need to worry about you. So the analogy I always use to take this further is, if the plumber wants to show up at 2 a.m. drunk in a pink tutu to do the plumbing on the house, that is the plumber's prerogative, because as a subcontractor, the GC cannot say, you have to show up at this hour wearing this outfit and not drunk. Now, if the drunkenness impacts the final product and it's not to code or something, okay, then we have another discussion. But the point is, 2 a.m. drunk in a pink tutu, if the plumber does the job according to the contract, the general contractor has nothing to say about it. So now let's go back to our industry. What's happening is that we are being told that we are subcontractors. So we're being hired and we're signing agreements that we are subcontractors in someone else's practice. But then we're being told the hours we have to work, the number of clients we have to see. We're being supervised and told we have to provide XYZ intervention, or we have to conduct our sessions in this way. Then we are given paper and pen and playrooms and printers and staples and Sharpies and file folders and computers and you name it with which to do our job. And this is why the attorneys don't want anything to do with it. And this is why the attorney turned me away, because that means that you're an employee. An independent contractor has to function completely independently. They have to provide all of their own tools. You cannot even use a pen at the place that you work. If you are an independent contractor, you have to bring your own. You can't sit in someone else's desk chair that was provided. You have to provide your own desk chair. You have to outfit your entire playroom. Everything in the playroom has to be purchased by you. As an independent contractor, you are completely responsible to do your job and to have all the tools with which to do your job, and no one can give you oversight. They can't tell you what to wear, when to show up, what to do, how to do it. They can't force you to use any of their forms. They can't have any supervision over you. And I know a lot of you are reeling right now. This is why I'm doing this episode. Because you're going, oh my gosh, I was hired as an independent contractor and I am not being treated as one. Right. And that's why the lawyers are having a field day. And that's why the attorneys are seeking audits of mental health agencies and practices all the time, because they're busting people left and right. So now, in contrast, as an employee, you can be completely governed and everything is provided for you. You can be supervised. You can be told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That's all under an employment contract as an employee. So if you are currently having people work under you as a practice owner or as an employer, you need to make sure that you are not doing employment fraud. Because what is happening is we are bringing on people that we are paying as independent contractors, but treating them as employees. And here's another related aside. Many, like dozens, maybe hundreds of therapists have had conversations with me about what to do regarding, I was told this was going to be my position. I was told this was going to be my role. I was hired to work this many hours. I was hired to see this many clients. I was given the impression that, and when I ask clarifying questions, it all comes back to, no, there was never a contract. No, there was never anything formal written up. No, I never signed anything. This was all just verbally discussed. Yikes, y'all. This is why we need business training to do this job. No one in the business industry would ever, 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 emphatically stated multiple times for a reason, would never do anything related to a job without a contract or an agreement or something signed stating expectations, responsibilities, duties, all of it. And we do it all the time. Oh, I mean, I trust her. I trust him. It was a handshake kind of thing. We just talked about it. Yikes. So not only are we not adhering to employment guidelines for what constitutes an employee versus a subcontractor, we are also not getting anything in writing. We're not having any kind of agreements or contracts that are formally drawn up. And if they are, they were like handwritten and they got off LegalZoom and modified something and think that that's going to work. There are legal loopholes over every single bit of everything that was drafted like that. A lawyer needs to craft an employment agreement. Whether you're an independent contractor or an employee, it doesn't matter. You need to have a lawyer involved in the construction of the agreement to protect both sides. The employer needs protection. The employee needs protection. It needs to be very clear. It needs to be very legally well written. And it needs to be ironclad. Why? Because inevitably, you want to know how many conversations I've had, specifically with coaching participants, that have said, yeah, and now out of the blue, my boss is saying that I have to take PTO time if I don't meet a certain number of clients each week. And I said, well, I'm wondering what that said in the contract. Oh, no, it didn't say that. Well, why is that being enforced now? Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just out of the blue. My boss was like, well, here, this is what we're going to do now. If you don't have a contract, number one, and or you don't have a well-written, well-constructed, clearly drafted contract, you have nothing to fall back on. So, food for thought, words to the wise. I really think that you all need to consider whether or not you've been classified and categorized, wow, try to say those two, appropriately where you're working, and or if you have people working for you, are you following employment guidelines? And are people actually being paid the way that they should be? And that was the first question that the lawyer asked me when I said, I want to bring on independent contractors. Can you draft me up an employment agreement? He was like, are you going to let them use your pens? And I was like, what? I mean, what a weird question, right? Like you're talking to an attorney and they're like, he goes, are you going to let them use your pens? And I said, no, they provide their own pens normally. I mean, I guess if someone said, can I borrow one? I might say yes. And he was like, no, you're not. You cannot provide them anything to do their job. And I mean, it's that clear. And here's what happens. You have someone come in from the department to audit, and that's the first thing they're going to ask. What does your employer provide you with to do your job? And if you are hired as an independent contractor and the only answer you can give is nothing, to have that not go really south really fast. So just wanted to make you aware. It's my little public service announcement, my duty to inform. I think we really need to evaluate what we're doing as an industry, because we're already getting a pretty bad rap in the legal world. And it's deservedly a bad rap, quite honestly, because I hear it and see it all the time. So just be mindful, be careful, get stuff in writing, have lawyers draw up your contracts, make sure that you are using wisdom and thought in the things that you're doing when you're getting hired. And look, if you're in a situation where you now know, oh my goodness, I'm not being categorized appropriately. I am 100% an employee based on these guidelines, but I'm, you know, on the books as an independent contractor. You need to have a conversation with your boss or the owner or whoever's in charge. And if you are going, oh my goodness, I'm on like a handshake and a wink kind of deal where I work and I have nothing in writing and I have no contract, you need to have a conversation. You need to say, so I've been made aware of some things. I've been learning a lot about employment law, and I would really like to have a contract drawn up, or I would really like to be recategorized because I'm technically an employee. And these are maybe potentially difficult conversations, but they're necessary ones. So I hope that that encourages you, supports you, and will help you in your work, because we need to make sure that we're doing things legally and ethically and appropriately. And sometimes that's not our responsibility when it starts, but it's our responsibility once we're made aware of something that is the way that it shouldn't be. All right, so palate cleanse episode, there you go, just a little off the beaten path topic. And we will move into a new series next time. So this was just a one and done kind of episode. And I would love to hear from you if you'd like to reach out, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Oh, really quickly, before we wrap up, thank you to each and every one of you who has reached out to me, and I have passed that on to Lee, for how that final neutrality episode and the write-up that Lee provided to us and let me read, how that has impacted you. So many of you have asked if you can print it and frame it or hang it up somewhere or read it to yourself. Lee has graciously said absolutely yes. And I just wanted to say thank you for the feedback that you've given. I've passed it along to her. She is flabbergasted by the response and did not expect to have that shared and did not expect to have it have the impact that it has. So huge thank you to each and every one of you for letting me know that that was so meaningful and that that really has just wrapped up the neutrality series for you in a really special way, as it did for me. So I appreciate all of you letting me know that. And I promise I've given credit where credit's due, and I've passed along all of your appreciation and the impact that it's had. All right. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.